it really gives the opportunity for there to be, you know, mixing of the subjects in different lessons that you could combine those things.
Bond work continues at USD 489. Public Relations Director Chrissy Crow stops by to share some updates on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Can't see anything physically yet, but we have been working hard with the architects for, honestly, as soon as the bond passed last May, we hit the ground running and just really started designing the buildings. So Roosevelt will be the first building that you see progress on. They will actually start tentatively in May doing the groundbreaking stuff. They will have the addition starting, and then they'll start on some of the interior renovations that will happen within the school that you probably won't be able to see unless you're inside the walls of the building. But you will be able to see the new addition happening just there to the north of Roosevelt there. What street is that? 22nd Street, mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah, there between Roosevelt and 22nd, that will start. So that's super exciting. Some amazing things are happening there. The design was approved, I suppose, I guess, if that's what you call it. They will start getting city permits and doing bidding processes and stuff for the building. So it's really, really, really exciting. The changes that are going to happen and what the students are going to benefit from this bond is going to be incredible.
Yeah, we've seen some of the artist renderings on a story over on Hayes Post, and it looks incredible. Of course, it's not just about looks, but it sure looks neat.
Correct. It really is amazing, and it's hard. I think it's hard for people of Hayes to imagine what that will look like because we've been in these same buildings for so long and so different. Everything looks so different from what it currently looks like. And it's just, we keep saying it, I think it's going to blow people's minds what our students are going to be able to go to school in. And not just Roosevelt, but it's the new high school and the high school becoming the middle school and different schools rearranging and what they're going to do to those schools to benefit the students is going to be, it's incredible. And I think once people can visually see that, they're going to say, oh, that makes sense. Like, now I understand why we needed this and what the progress is and how it's going to happen in the future. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about this. I think there had to be a change, right? The addition wasn't initially set to go onto Roosevelt. I think it was going to go onto O'Laughlin, but then there was some plans had to be adjusted, right?
Correct. The space that O'Laughlin has and the space that we own at O'Laughlin is so much smaller than what it is at Roosevelt. And so once we started looking at that and figuring out what would benefit or what would best be advantageous for the schools, Roosevelt seemed like the better fit to make that addition because of the ground they have around them. And so O'Laughlin is basically landlocked with residential on one side, you know, TMPs on the other side of it. There's streets all around it that are just kind of blocking it in. So Roosevelt, we owned that space there to the north of Roosevelt already. So it just made sense to go that direction and do the addition at that school versus O'Laughlin. Now O'Laughlin will get, I think it's a gym maybe, or that design hasn't even really started yet, but they will get some additions and multiple renovations. But as far as the big chunk of additions go, it is at Roosevelt.
Yeah. I think to me, this highlights one of the things that was a pretty frequent complaint during the election was we don't have the full solid plans. And this is why, because things, you can't make full plans until you've got the money in hand and working with the architects.
Correct.
And the construction guys.
Yeah, it's very fluid. I mean, it's even fluid up to today. I mean, we have another meeting tomorrow about the high school, and they will show us a design, and then a week later, they'll come back with another design, and it's completely different than the design we had just seen, and we were thinking, wait a second, that's not what it looked like. But once they explain it to us that this works better and this is a better fit, and that's really what it was with the configurations of all the schools, and just they're making sure that we get the best bang for our buck, I guess, lack of better way to say that, but they want to make sure we're getting what we want within our budget. And that just really worked better for everybody.
Yeah. You mentioned the high school and the changing plans. And one of the things that I think has been real neat to see is the collaboration on the traffic piece, because there's a lot of concern that when the high school's out there, I mean, it's already kind of a traffic problem.
Right.
But when you add the middle school to the high school, it's going to be worse. But the city's working on it. Police department, city leaders, the district, and again, the architects, and everybody's coming together to work this plan out in the best way they can.
Yeah, it's been a really joint effort in that. And I think everybody sees what it's going to do to the traffic out there. And like you said, it's already, you do want to avoid it at certain times, just like you want to avoid O'Laughlin. And just like you, I mean, really all school drop off and pickup time is a headache anywhere. But the city and the police department, the county department, the school, the architects have really put in a lot of work to determine how the traffic flows best. Do we stagger dismissal times of the high school and the middle school, and what makes most sense? And how can we make a loop around the high school and the middle school for drop off to make sure that parents aren't on those 13th Street and Canterbury Street? For the most part, they can just loop around the schools and not be on those, not be on those main city streets to help alleviate all of the cars that will be out there. And hopefully with the staggered start that we have, tentatively in plan, that will help the high school, the middle school kids get dropped off. And then really before the heavy traffic of the high school starts, the middle school parents will already be gone. So that's our plan. But, you know, like I said, everything is fluid and changing within every single day. But the high school plan it's incredible. And like I had mentioned before, people just don't understand what's coming. I mean, it is going to be it's going to be amazing. And as soon as that pops up out there, people are going to start. I mean, the architects have said, we had people just sit out there and they'll just watch us, you know, the construction. And I really believe people will just sit out there and watch what's happening, because we haven't seen it before around here. And it's so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wonder if you want to talk about any of the specific inside stuff that has been determined, or if you've even got there.
We have the general layout of what's happening. The auditorium is going to be incredible. It is going to be amazing. And I think just, you know, there are so many things that happen at Fort Hays or in the dilapidated 12th Street auditorium that really takes away from the talent that our students have. And so once this auditorium is built and, you know, people can really shine up on that stage, it's going to be life-changing for those students, I think. And there's a lot of collaborative spaces built into the new high school, so teachers can send out groups, you know, you go out here and work and you go out here and work, and it's see-through so they can still have supervision, which has been a really big topic of conversation for us, making sure that the teachers have supervision of the students and how the hallways flow, and you can still have supervision the locker rooms. Can we make sure that the coaches, you know, can see their athletes in the locker room, but, you know, for supervision and safety issues and stuff like that? So it's been a really awesome process to watch and to see what all goes into it. You know, there's ag buildings, there's industrial kitchens in there for the culinary classes, and now they won't have to drive clear across town to go to their kitchen. They'll be able to do it right there within the building. There's a cafe built right outside of the cafeteria so if you want to just get an a la carte item, you don't have to go all the way into the cafeteria, and it flows like a college campus cafeteria type of thing. So it's going to be amazing. It really is. I can't stress that. Can't stress that enough.
You know, one of the things that we talked about a lot with, especially with the principals and the administration there at the district, is these changes are kind of precipitated on changing educational models. And I think, you know, a lot of folks maybe that don't work in the education world, and I don't work in the education world, but my wife does, so I hear about this, is knowing and learning how to interact with those students and do it, maybe better is not the right word, but do it in a way that's more conducive to learning.
Right.
And adopting those spaces. So it's, to me, it was never about, it, when you talk about spaces like that, it's about changing it to a modern education system. And unfortunately, some of that is just physical space, because
right.
You don't set kids in a classroom, 40 kids looking ahead to a teacher anymore. That's just not the way educational models suggest is the best.
Right. That's exactly, you're exactly right on that. And so they are creating these spaces that give these teachers flexibility on how they teach. They may have a lesson where they do need kids sitting in rows and giving them the information, and then they're going to break out into groups and break out into different spaces. And now if you go up to the high school, they have students sitting in the hallways on the floor working because there is no collaborative space. So this school is going to have those learning areas where they can go out and they don't have to sit on the floor. And now some kids like to sit on the floor. I get that. That's sure. how they like to learn. But they will have flexible seating. You know, you can have a stand-up desk. You can have a sit-down desk. You can sit on the floor. You can sit on a comfy chair, a flexible seating type of thing for the students. And like you said, teaching is different these days and every student learns differently. And this just gives the teachers and the principals different flexibilities that we don't currently have. And they're setting up the building to where they have different subjects intermingled with each other. So science is with math and social studies is with English. And so it really gives the opportunity for there to be, you know, mixing of the subjects in different lessons that you could combine those things with. And the video production radio people are close to the athletics because they do a lot of different things with the athletic program. And so it just is really going to be set up and conducive to those flexible, collaborative learning situations for students.
Yeah. And to me, that kind of sounds like it reflects what business leaders are telling us we need in the workforce. We need students that have different skill sets and can adapt rather than know how to do one thing well. That's important too, right? But having that kind of cross-platform learning models and unsiloing our institutions educationally and business-wise is what everybody's telling us we need to do, right?
That's exactly right. And our main goal is to prepare these students to go out into the workforce, to go into post-secondary education. And this is an incredible way for them to jumpstart that, to get that foundation that they need to go do those, work well with others, collaborate with others, you know, tiptoe into different areas to test and see if you like it and whether you, you know, want to continue on that path. It's just really, like I said, a foundation for what they're going to need in their future, whether it's, you know, college or not college. It's, you know, different career technology learning, you know, that we can give the students opportunities to have and then go, you know, further their education or their career after high school.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chrissy, before we run out of time, we've got to move on. You have a couple of teachers that were recently recognized down there at the district, right?
We do. Yes, we had Bruce Rupp. He is the athletic director at the middle school, and he received the middle school athletic director of the year award last month, actually. And he's been here forever. I mean, he's like a godfather of the district.
Yeah.
He was awarded that, very well deserved, incredible award for him. And then Jerry Brown, who is the gifted teacher for the high school and the middle school, he was awarded the Kansas Master Teacher of the Year last month also. So great, great things happening for our students, but it's not without the teachers and the admin that are making it happen. So kudos to them. Very well deserved for both of them, and we are super excited to have them represent our district.